All right, welcome to the podcast. John Tesh with Give Gerard, and today we're going to talk about memory.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, on the radio show and everything we do online, people ask us questions about this all the time, about maximizing the memory. So I have before me here the five habits that are ruining our memory so we can stop doing that. All right, so let's just get right to it.
Love it.
And number one is one that Gib and I talk about not only on broadcast, but we also talk about it in the gym. We talk about it after the gym because we see all these studies about how important it is to have strong legs. And
yep.
So I know that Gib's going to dig deeply into this in just a moment, but let me just lay out a story you may have heard before, and it comes from researchers from King's College London. What they did back in the day is they recruited nearly 400 twins ages 43 to 73, and they went and they tested different factors, including leg power and speed, and then they retested 10 years later, and the results were pretty amazing. Researchers found that leg strength happened to be a better predictor of brain health than any other lifestyle factor looked
Incredible.
At in the study. So, you know, whether it was crossword puzzles or diet or exercise or any of that stuff, cardio, basically the twin with more leg strength at the start of the study maintained their mental abilities and had fewer age-related brain changes than the twin with weaker legs. So squats, brisk walking, stair climbing, the experts right. agree, these are all exercises that will protect your memory and brain function. So the number one habit that will ruin your memory is not exercising your legs, skipping leg day.
And basically. A lot of people skip leg day because at least...
Just, it doesn't show.
It doesn't, it's particularly for men. Pre-Kardashian, women didn't do it either, but now people are much more likely to do lower body.
is that like one of the prehistoric.
Yeah, it's like you know, we have antebellum levels. And postbellum, you know, America. We've got anti-Kardashian, pre-Kardashian, right? Post-Kardashian.
Anti-Kardashian. I think that's my Aunt Amajean. She's anti-Kardashian.
But the point is, you know, people don't do it because, again, it's not, particularly for men, it's not as aesthetic. But I have seen multiple studies, including this one, where they look at MRI cross-sections of legs, and they look at the muscle definition in the MRI cross-sections to see exactly how much muscle density is in someone's leg. And that is, you know, that is also linked to Alzheimer's and dementia and preventing it. So it's super important. One of the big reasons why it's important, not only is it hard, and doing hard things is really good for you in general when it comes to your longevity, but your leg muscles are your biggest muscles in your body. They are the biggest muscles in the body, and muscle tissue consumes blood sugar like nothing else. So one of the things that we talk about consistently on the show about Alzheimer's and dementia is that inflammation in the brain, particularly from a high processed food diet, it creates inflammation in your brain, and that causes a deterioration of all of the centers for memory, the centers for mood and all kinds of longevity functions in your brain, the things that start to deteriorate as you age. The legs eat that stuff. The muscles get the bad stuff and they process it, and that keeps you from getting those huge blood glucose spikes that begin to wear down your memory centers. So do yourself a favor, and there are machines. If you have, you know, you can get a commercial gym membership for under $10 a month.
That's
now.
Right. That's like, yeah, I think it's like 24-hour fitness is that.
So if you, there are leg machines that you don't even have to worry about, you know, your back and all that. There are machines you can get in so that you don't hurt yourself, because the range of motion is limited to exactly what you're supposed to do, and build those leg muscles. And we just did deadlifts, both of us, this morning.
Yeah, different weights, though. I lifted 150 pounds. Gib lifted the Lexus.
It's not true.
The car.
That's not true.
Well, it's close.
It was a Fiat. It was close.
What was it, 250 pounds or something?
It was 250 for 12.
Yeah, so Gib's brain's going nowhere. Gib's brain, your legs in your brain's in your legs. That's what my dad would say or something. Anyway.
Why is your dad Mick from Rocky One?
I know. Come on, Mick. I mean, come on, Rock. Sorry. He'd be talking to himself. He said, come on, Mick. So I also wanted to underscore this by saying that I go for my, like, you know, 20,000 mile checkup since that bad cancer diagnosis many years ago. So I go back and I get scanned, I get checked. And it's usually, you're looking for lymph nodes that have lit up, and mine have lit up, you know, a few times, stuff like that. This time, the Dr. Logothetis from MD Anderson, he's looking at the scan with me and mom, and he goes, and you know this story, but he goes, Okay, so we got this node here is lit up a little bit. This node here has been, but I don't see too much activity. But the big reason why we're not going to put you back on treatment is what we're seeing here. And I'm looking at, he's like looking at my legs in the scan, and he goes, so your hips and your quads strength and your big muscles, the ratio between those and the fat that's in the stomach and the rest of your body is so good that your body is able to now fight off cancer.
It's unbelievable.
And basically what he was saying is just what Gibbs said, was that when you this is not an accident, because I hadn't worked on my legs forever, but because we were doing these stories, I ended up hiring a trainer, and the trainer was working with me on balance and also on just getting my legs stronger, because the treatment that I'd gone through with the cancer treatment was muscle wasting. So I needed that extra help. But he said just what you said, Gibb. He said that it was, and that's why I was so excited about talking to you right after I got that, had that meeting. The large muscles in your body, John, are burning the fuel that cancer can't have now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can keep those legs strong, if you can keep those muscles active, it will stop all kinds of metabolic issues in the rest of your body. Cause how it feels, especially as you get older. I mean, I know how I feel. Yeah. If I eat a high sugar meal, if I eat like donuts or something for breakfast, or if we have cake for somebody's birthday or something afterwards, I can feel it through my whole body.
Sure, me too.
But if my legs are strong, that feeling of my blood sugar spiking and then the insulin response and then all of that kills my energy for the day, my legs eat up all of and my energy is much more fluid, much less violent in terms of its changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a happier, healthier person.
Yeah, you've created a stronghold, basically,
right.
where it's you have somebody else fighting up against that glucose. Okay, so that's number one, not having strong enough legs. The second habit that could absolutely ruin your memory, and this is related, right, is eating processed foods.
Yeah.
So this is from Dr. Richard Isaacson, director of the Alzheimer's Prevention Clinic at Cornell. He says every time we eat something that spikes blood glucose levels, like fast food and refined carbs, our hippocampus takes a hit. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal, he says, because that's the area of the brain responsible for memory and even for spatial navigation. In his research on Alzheimer's and memory preservation, Dr. Isaacson insists that we eat cold water fish twice a week. Doing that will boost blood flow to your brain and reduce plaque buildup, a top cause of Alzheimer's, and stop eating the processed food. So what would you say is cold water fish?
So cold water fish is going to be that cod. It's going to be some halibut, sardines, anchovies. But cod is a great one. And the cold water fish because it's oily, right? It's usually oily oily white fish, and that's how you know, as opposed to, pelagic fish like swordfish and stuff like that, which is higher in mercury. So
is salmon considered a cold water fish?
You know, I think it depends on the kind of salmon. I think that's why you have to get the right kind. But the reason why it's good is because for the fish to survive in the cold water, they have to have the right ratio of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. And so when you eat them, you get that right ratio of omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. And what that does for your, and this is why farmed fish doesn't usually have that. You need the wild caught cold water fish.
And I would assume that the tiny fish, right, the mm-hmm. krill and anchovies, those are cold water as well.
Right. Yeah. Anchovies.
But we're not going for those.
I can't do them. I know. And we've talked so many times. I mean, Dominic D'Agostino is a big metabolic researcher at University of South Florida, I think. And who does a bunch of work for Navy SEALs and the ketogenic diet. I mean, he just swears by those anchovies. He just takes them with him when he travels. But I can't do it. It's disgusting.
But it's the cold water fish.
Yeah.
The cold water fish and less processed food, again, from Dr. Isaacson from Cornell. Really good for your brain.
It's the exact same thing we were just talking about, right? It's the processed food gives you that spike, that spike erodes your brain.
Yeah.
Dr. Daniel Amen, who we've had on different permutations of our show, he's a big neurologist in Southern California, and he talks about not only doing the things that will benefit your brain, things like the Sudokus, the crossword puzzles, but also making sure that you're not doing the things that damage your brain. And this is one of those on his list as well, that processed food thing.
Yeah. So here's another habit, number three. the number three habit that can ruin your memory is not hanging out with younger people. I would have missed it. This is according to Georgia State University psychology professor, Dr. Vannetta Dotson. Dr. Dotson wrote, "Keep Your Wits About You, The Science of Brain Maintenance as You Age." And Dr. Dotson says, as we age, socializing with younger people who are mentally sharp provides the type of brain stimulation that helps boost our cognitive function. And that's especially true for people who are starting to experience some cognitive decline. So in an analysis of 40 studies by Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, when the two generations interacted, young and old, the mental and physical health of the elderly improved dramatically.
It also benefits the younger people. I mean, you know, if you're younger, you should be hanging out with older people to give you better perspective on your life. It'll help you realize what's important. It'll give you an understanding of your history. This is why multi-generational households are a big factor in, you know, in Blue Zones, right? Is that it helps everybody in the process. The younger people benefit, the older people benefit in terms of cognition. I will say, as I get older, my desire to talk to younger people that are not my kids goes down quite a bit. I talk to somebody.
They're so different.
I talk to somebody in their 20s. I'm like, oh, I cannot. I don't have a TikTok. What am I supposed to talk to you about?
I know. My TikTok comes out of my watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, the young, they pass pieces of their vitality onto the elderly, improving their cognitive abilities. Sure. And like Gibbs said, it works both ways. I mean, I listen to this. It even happens with fruit flies. So our expert says the presence of youthful, active fruit flies doubles the lifespan of older flies.
To what? To 2 days?
Because fruit flies are exactly. So that's number three, the habit that can ruin your memory, not hanging out with younger people.
I got to get in on that.
Uh-huh. The fourth habit that will ruin your memory, not reading enough books. And we just don't have an excuse anymore. We were just talking about this on the radio about what happens to your brain when you just read 20 minutes a day from a book, because we have Kindle, you know, we have real books, whatever you want to do, you know, download a PDF. Mm-hmm. So if you regularly lose your train of thought, say the experts, search for your keys or forget where you parked your car, the Beckman Institute for Advanced Science and Technology believes you will strengthen your memory by just reading more books, even if it's just 20 minutes a day. The researchers joined with local libraries to see if reading had the potential to improve people's memory skills and randomly divided study subject into reading or gaming groups. The gaming had far less effect than the people who were reading books every day.
Sure. I mean, look, especially because, you know, most books, particularly if they're geared towards anybody, you know, from 12 and up, they're going to be a couple hundred pages long, which means that you're going to have to follow plot points for several hundred pages. And if you read books like you and I like, the Stephen King books, those are oftentimes 600 or 700, even 800 pages long. That requires a lot of mental activity in order to stay engaged. The great thing is a good writer will keep you engaged and will make the whole process fun. And the really great news is what that does for your brain. Just sitting there going through that process of tracking a story for several weeks of reading, several hundred pages, it makes a huge difference in your overall cognitive ability. And it's something that we, you know, it'll also help with your attention span, because most of the stuff that we get right now is quick bites.
Yep, yep.
You know, 30 seconds of your time plus an ad, 2 minutes of your time plus an ad. That's everything that we're seeing now. A book is a much more intimate experience. It's a much longer experience. You sit there with it for a much longer period of time, and it really opens your brain up.
That's well said. The fifth and last habit that can ruin your memory is the midnight snack that you had last night.
That's the worst.
My wife, we got some donuts, and Connie froze them, thinking that, you know, they'd be for another time. Yeah. I can eat a frozen donut. I mean, it's just, to me, it's not that hard. It's an ice cream cone. It's no problem. She's like, where'd the donuts go? I said, I have no idea.
Dog must have gotten it.
Gibbs' kids were over here. It must have been that. So a UCLA study shows that our late night eating habits significantly reduce our learning and memory. There was a study, and the researchers did this. They tracked two groups that ate the same amount of food and slept the same number of hours. The only difference was that one group ate during normal daylight hours, while the other group ate late at night when many of them would normally be sleeping. So after just a few weeks, they scanned them with the MRI brain scans that revealed significant changes in the hippocampus of the late night eaters. Hippocampus, of course, the brain, again, associated with learning and memory. The changes translated to far worse performance on memory tests compared to those who ate during the day. Our body does not want us to eat at night, late at night.
I mean, this goes back to the first two points, right? That's inflammation. And at night, the reason why eating at night creates more inflammation is because you're actually not consuming the calories, and you're not allowing your body, you're eating the calories, but your body processes are not using those calories right away. So then your body is in the process. And by the way, I say this is really important to know. You and I both, we have midnight snacks. Like, we know, we're reading you the research. We know the research. We talk about it on the air all the time. We still do this stuff. It's just good to know that by limiting it, you help yourself live longer and have a better memory. So when you eat the food, your body needs to, it either burns the cal, it has to process it into blood sugar and then burns those calories. If it doesn't burn the blood sugar out of your body, then that gets processed into fat through your liver. And that process is going to take away from the benefits of the sleep, the neurological benefits of the sleep, because your body is focused on converting calories into fat as opposed to clearing out the metabolic byproducts right. in your brain, right. which is what you really need sleep for. So when you do that, you're interrupting the cleaning process in your brain, as well as a process called apoptosis, which is when you have not eaten for a while. The more time you're able to go between meals, the more your body goes, hey, we don't have a lot of food right now. We don't have a lot of calories. We can't keep all of these cells around. We've got to get rid of the weakest ones. And that process of removing the bad cells is a process in cancer prevention. It's a process that helps with overall reduction in inflammation in your body. And it is a necessary process that most of us in the modern world, because calories are so available. Yes, I mean, never in the history of humankind have we had so many calories 100% of the time available within arm's reach. And so the midnight snack just kind of underscores that you're not allowing your body to clean itself out the way that it needs to.
Yeah, I remember we did an interview with a doctor from the Cornell Food and Brands Lab, and at the end of the interview, I just asked, so what's the biggest problem today? Why are we gaining weight? Why is there so much obesity? And he said, because you can have dinner at the gas station.
Yeah,
he said, there's food everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, back when I was growing up, fast food didn't exist.
Right, and it's an abundance of calories and a lack of nutrition. So we end up doing is we eat all these calories. We get up to 2,500 calories for the day, but our body's like, hey, we still need, you know, we still need vitamin K.
Right.
Still hungry. We still need to ingest food in order to get the vitamins we need.
Yeah. So the processed food and sugary foods, it's our brain is going to, it needs energy. It burns more, it burns more energy than any organ in our body, right? The brain? Yeah.
Right. So they say chess players burn as much energy in a chess match as running 5 miles.
God.
So when you think about it, I think it's more than like a soccer player burns.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's how powerful the brain is in terms of burning energy. And if you allow that spike in blood sugar, that spike in that poor nutrition, that creates a spike of inflammation in the brain because it's consuming those calories first.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Listen, if you want to dig deeper, if you want to go further, if you'd like a more intense version of what we're talking about here, Gib and I have put together a course called Maximize Your Memory, and you can get details just by clicking below. You know, what I hear from many people who come up to me after my live concerts is, oh, John, I've always wanted to play the piano, but I don't have time for all those lessons, or they say I'm too old to start learning now. I can teach you how to play a song on the piano in just 3 days without spending 1 minute learning music theory or reading sheet music. We do this together by me teaching you how to play my most memorable songs. So go to Tesh.com right now and get on the waiting list for my brand new online course, The John Tesh Piano Method. It's Tesh.com. Tesh.com.